Welcome to another edition of Father Time. We have a fantastic one today. I'm joined, as always, by my producer, Mr. Andy Lerner.
Good afternoon.
Any kids yet?
No.
That guy's just not, never gets old. It's almost like a little rub in his face of like, still, you're still going to be that dude, the old guy with no kids?
Why do you think you're rubbing it in my face?
Thanks for everybody for tuning in. We've been going on for a while now, and if you guys keep coming back, then do me a favor, make sure you go on iTunes, rate us, and say nice things, and tell some friends.
Or say anything, really.
For the love of God, let me know somebody's out there. I see numbers. I see downloads, so I know people are downloading it. Nobody contacts me. Once in a blue moon, somebody will go, actually, you know, this is totally our gardener. I was like, hey, we're recording today. He goes, oh, I love those recordings. My gardener said, say the podcast. He goes, I love those recordings.
Audience of one.
He has a great. He wrote a great review on iTunes. I don't know. My guests today. We got to cut. That's way too long to get into this. My guests today are the Lehrer Boys, and you are cartoonists, comedy writers. You have a crazy Instagram account at the
Lehrer Boys. Lehrer Boys.
And you have a new show that is coming out sometime soon called Highly Gifted.
Yes.
Which is kind of fitting for our podcast because it's kind of about you guys growing up as children.
Unfortunately. The basic premise.
Tragedy
of
plus
gifted,
time, right?
Tragedy plus time, exactly. Or as Mel Brooks said about comedy.
First of all,
tragedy.
Daniel and Jeremy Lehrer join us
all
today.
Right.
Yes. Yay! And you brought a publicist with puppies, so you guys already, my kids love you best.
Getting good with the kids.
Yeah, that's always right. Getting with the kids.
And sweets. Yeah. And the children.
A
tinted van.
The kids did, right. Yeah, we didn't love the van or the cotton candy. It came off creepy. A little creepy, but I loved it. So the show's Highly Gifted. It talks about you guys as kids.
Well, yeah, the basic premise of Highly Gifted was that everyone always says knowledge is power. And we went to this Highly Gifted magnet where we found out that the opposite is true. You know, like muscles are power, popularity is power, all sorts of things are power.
Power is
power. Knowledge was not power. It was like, really, it was powerlessness. Anyway, so we wanted to do a show about that entire misconception. And that's what we did.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you guys were highly gifted children.
I hate it.
Do you feel awkward when you say that?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You,
of course.
Like,
yes.
Are you, like,
of course.
I'm a genius?
It's almost like if someone's like, oh, so you're gifted.
But listen,
highly.
Here's
highly.
The thing that I think as you get older, you discover internal, innate smarts is meaningless. Work is everything. And what precisely you don't learn when you are highly gifted is how to work. Because they tell you, you're so goddamn smart. And then if anything doesn't work, you're like, fuck, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to put any time into it. Let's go on something else. And as you get older, you're like, there's no card that you take out where it's like, I'm highly gifted. Then go join Mensa and talk with
that's
those
what they talk about.
Idiots.
Right, join a Mensa group.
There's no one stupider than a Mensa member.
And also, aren't the smartest people on Earth truly the most unhappy people?
Maladjusted.
Right? They know what's going on.
And comedians.
And comedians. Yeah. But a lot of comedians are really smart people. You have
right,
to be
so it all
kind of
goes
from
together
a
from a different angle.
There's another thing. The people that I admire now are also risk takers. And when you're in the highly gifted magnet, you end up not being a risk taker because you don't want to risk.
You
never want to show anyone you're a dumbass. Which is
your intelligence card, and so no one risks anything. And so all these people that we grew up with who did amazing things, it's kind of like almost like
a lawyer in a law firm.
Yes, they
a
all
business
took,
guy
safe
at
routes,
a business thing.
Safe
okay.
Routes. In fact, fine, I was a lawyer fine. Until I finally couldn't take it anymore.
Were you a lawyer?
I yeah. was. I was you a corporate defense lawyer.
Really?
Yes.
That's
oh, I hated it. Hated it.
Tell about your early cases.
Well,
defending the meek and the defenseless.
I worked for I won't say the name of the firm, but a big corporate defense firm here in LA. And my first cases were, the partner sat me down and said, are there any cases you'd rather work on, you'd rather not work on? And we did the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'd rather not work on that. I know we're not doing constitutional law and defending like homeless people, but I'd rather not do that. So like, oh, okay, great. First case, Exxon Valdez, defending against Indian tribal villages that were
destroyed.
You know, residual litigation that were
you
claiming
were working for Exxon.
Yes,
yes
then,
of course. The Indian villages don't pay.
Then Enron,
the oil soaked tribes on
Wait,
the
you
coast.
Did Enron and
more
Exxon
gets better.
Then Girls Gone Wild.
What's his
statutory
name?
Statutory rape. Yep. Joe Francis.
He has a backpack.
Joe yeah,
Joe
Francis.
A backpack.
I got a backpack. Girls Gone Wild backpack. That was my prize. and then every HMO basically, and in the country against every doctor in a class action defense. So after saving the world, I called Daniel. I was like, save me. And he was in Italy working for Ducati, which is its own story. And we finally hooked up.
Right.
I mean, you're twin brothers.
Yes.
So when you say we finally hooked up.
No, that was a whole thing you have to come to terms with. For years, we were convinced we were individuals.
Which is rare for twins. Typically,
they band together. I've never paid attention to other twins. But for
they,
years,
they scare me.
Exactly.
They scare me.
They're weird. We're weird.
Trust
Everyone's
me,
weird.
We all know they're weird.
They're weird. The whole thing is weird.
Under 30, there's a little bit of a residual cute factor.
Once you start pressing 30 and 40. Once you get to a certain 40,
age. And they dress alike at like 45, you're like, you guys got to stop that. That's
it's
what I'm
getting.
Like,
well, we shared
an
hats
underpants
off.
Drawer growing up, so... It was close. And also my parents were like into this kibbutznik mentality of like, well, let's put four beds in a room and just let them all kind of
see what happens.
Well, apparently it worked. Are the other kids, how many kids?
Older one is brother. In Palo Alto. And he, the funny
thing
is, are
they all
is,
highly gifted?
Well, he is, yes. He's like literally.
Technically.
He works. I mean, whatever. But he works for a biotech company and he's like figuring out how to solve sickle cell anemia. In the meantime, he's
okay,
like...
he's gifted then.
He's like, yeah.
He's not like
he sounds
in,
maybe no, more highly gifted than you guys.
Oh, much more. We draw
more.
Testicle hair for
yeah, him. That's the difference in the conversation. He's like, well, we're pretty close to solving sickle cell anemia. And we'll be like, we drew a marvelous testicle today. I'd love for you to take a look
so
at it.
So we're all doing our part.
Give
all
me
doing
any
our part,
editorial,
Josh.
Any notes. We'll take any notes on that.
That's so funny. So four kids.
Four kids.
What do your parents do?
My dad was a public interest attorney.
And who then became a private interest attorney later after
realizing
that
interest
public interest
is a hard life.
Yeah, private pays way more than public.
Right.
And my mom was a historian who never finished her doctorate degree and kind of raised
Instead raised four kids.
Really instilled the academic bullshit in our brains.
Thanks, Mom.
That screwed us up for many, many decades. Yes.
How do you... Did they raise you to be highly gifted, or did they were just like, these kids are testing off the charts? Like, my kids, I leave in front of the television all day. If they start testing through the roof, it's natural. It's really not going to be from me.
We did not. I don't feel like me and Jeremy did test through the roofs. I feel like my older brother was like, he was like a little meteor, and we were trying
we
to
just
follow,
made it.
And we had to find a niche that was our own niche, because anything you would compete with him in metrics, he would blow you
the
out of
the
water.
The youngest one.
The oldest one.
The oldest one.
He'd blow you out of the water. So you'd be like, we are going to draw really weird cartoons. He can't touch this territory. It's going to be like really strange stuff, very niche stuff. And then, you know, we'll have our own thing. And that's what we ultimately did. So it basically was avoiding Josh for years, finding ways to avoid Josh.
You guys are really close with your older brother.
Love him. Love him. Just like a brother.
But it seems weird that highly gifted and you're artists, because usually artists are on the other side of the brain, aren't
they?
Well,
here's what's interesting is we come from this... Oddly, in LA, because so many people move here, we were in this pocket, this niche kind of almost like cult community where our entire extended family,
like
30 blocks,
right.
We all got together every Friday night for dinner.
Shabbat dinner.
It was like discussions of politics and art and Mozart.
People were like, I'm writing a book. I'm writing two books.
That was, right.
And how old were you at the time?
Writing four books.
Kids, you know, like this is what you'd like everyone would be arguing and talking about. Their bullshit and bragging about what they're accomplishing and all that kind of stuff.
And so, right.
That's all stuff that you had to like learn how to ditch along the way, because in high school, we were so clueless. We never drank. We never did anything. We didn't know that we could miss a Friday night dinner and go out with friends.
So like, how do you go out with friends? Let's discuss it at a Friday night dinner.
Part of this is almost like a little child abuse going on there.
Let's call it that. When we got to college, we went to Columbia. We went to the local bar, the West End, and for the first week that we were there, freshman year, we drank ginger ales all night, and we're like, how do you flirt with girls? I just feel really hopped up on sugar. And then at a certain point, Jeremy's like, I'll tell you what, I think you got to order a beer. I think you got to order an alcohol. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And we've always been late.
And there began the descent.
Liquor is quicker.
Yeah.
So you started drinking finally at Columbia.
Yeah. But everything was like, oh, that's a thing. Oh, that's what human beings do. That's another thing that normal people do.
I always felt like an outsider. Like breakfast for us was herring.
Or schnitzel.
You know, and I would look at the people eating cereal and be like...
Extremely Jewish, it sounds like.
I had clip-on payas I was 30.
Yeah. No, but I remember, speaking of Jewish, we had this friend when we were in the Highly Gifted Magnet. I was about to give his name. I won't.
Do you have to qualify into the highly gifted magnet? Do you have to take tests?
A test, I guess.
I guess. Kindergarten?
Yeah. Or what time did
you
win?
I think
it
was
5, 6, 7, something like that.
I don't remember. But my parents had us probably take some tests. But who gives a crap? I mean, that stuff, honestly, now, it's It's so meaningless. It's like the guys I know who still have the signature on their email of whatever the name is, and then Harvard University, class of whatever, where it's like, you're
40. You can drop
40. It's time to drop that. What have you done?
I see guys all the time in their Harvard shirts. I thought you were going to say, because mine always says, this was typed on my iPhone. Please ignore any misspellings, and I'm an idiot.
Right.
which is the opposite of, right. Hey, I'm from Harvard. Enjoy my email.
No, but you know
regale
what?
Regale in my beauty.
I think it's the same thing. It's a non- interesting brag of like, I have an iPhone. Okay, so what?
You mean saying
I
like
back
I
in the
have?
Day it was kind of a brag because you're like, yeah, I got an iPhone.
Now. Right, right. Well, there's
but
there's so many different forms of brag on social
you're
media.
Right, with your right. And you're an idiot.
Right, 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 right.
It is funny. Yeah, that's so funny. So did all you? Were all four of the kids go on to like? Where'd your brother go? Was he Columbia as well?
Harvard.
He went to Harvard. That's Harvard. Right. He's the Harvard guy. We just talked
see,
about
he
that.
Always, yeah.
Where the younger brother
always
guy.
The one-up. And she then a younger sister, and she went to Harvard.
She went to Harvard.
Yeah, we didn't get into Harvard.
Did you not get into Harvard?
No, we got rejected.
We got waitlisted.
Yes.
Waitlisted.
No, but no, we...
From what I understand from Animal House, legacies are supposed to get in. Isn't that right?
We weren't legacies. They were... The parents were like good UC people. UC Berkeley and all that. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Solid, upstanding UC.
So your brother
UC
must have been
citizens.
A genius to get into Harvard out of the chute.
He was always like top.
He was effortless.
Everything.
Effortless yeah. at everything.
Effortless.
Just effortless. I was
straight
I,
A's.
I, yes. And
1600 SATs.
The way a dolphin swims. That's how he was in academics.
Where he just gets it. He sees a math problem and he goes, yeah, the answer is this. And you're like, what?
Everything he touches was effortless. We have always been like, the things that I like, I'm good at. The things I like, physics, for example, in eighth grade. I went to bed for a year at 8:30 so my dad wouldn't bug me about physics and try to do the homework.
We kept going to bed earlier and earlier,
earlier and earlier
to
just
avoid
to avoid it and to avoid the physics.
Where are the kids? It's 5:30.
They're
sound asleep.
Turn in time.
That's actually a pretty good approach. I'm going to start bugging my kids. Maybe they'll go to bed earlier.
Well, that's the only thing
God.
He wouldn't do
we
is he wouldn't wake up a sleeping child.
Physics!
Yep.
Right. Me. That's so crazy. Was your father, was he like on you to study and stuff?
He was the kind of guy, he's very methodical and categorical. So he would buy those old VHS tapes that he would find, not online at the time. And like, you'd have to go somewhere and be like, the 6-part series in how to get good at physics. My sons will watch this.
At four.
Right. And instead, right, as exactly. soon as they left, you'd be like, go into your porn
watch,
drawer.
Or DuckTales.
And get out the, yeah, or watch DuckTales. DuckTales and porn.
DuckTales and porn, baby.
That's we why. Like, my wife and I are like, just put on Sophia the First.
DuckTales and porn. That could lead to a really weird fetish.
Yeah.
You all.
But you don't know what my search terms
incidentally,
are.
Incidentally, I thought this interview was at the duck pond.
His cosplay is just weird.
Can we do this at the duck pond?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll be Scrooge McDuck again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And you'll be the money bin.
Show me the money.
Good. And you're the money bin.
That's hilarious. Okay, let me ask you this. Can your older brother draw?
Yeah, but like...
Because you say everything's effortless, but you guys are smart, but you're artists, which is an odd combination.
He was a little less artistic, maybe a little less humanities.
But Jamie, they cornered the market in the family for drawing testicles.
Yeah.
All right? That's how they could show they were better at something than the older
The
guy.
Cartoons, by the way, we haven't talked about them. They're awesome. For those who don't, what do you guys describe it as? It feels to me like like a newer edition of The Far Side with a
we
dark
be so
sense
lucky.
Of humor.
I
yes.
will take that.
I'll take
yeah,
it.
That's,
Far Side is one it. Of the most brilliant
it's
things
It's our
ever.
Favorite of all time.
My favorite
all time.
Ever.
Of all time,
it still
favorite,
holds up.
Bar
They're
none.
Amazing.
Yes, bar none our
so
favorite.
So outside the box. And I see that with yours. My favorite, I was looking through a ton of them, and my favorite was the one where all the kids are in the maternity ward.
Oh, yeah.
And they've already got the, it's dark, and they're
their
already
friends.
Their faces are illuminated by the iPhones.
As dads, we get that.
Yeah, yeah,
and there's this whole struggle between me and my wife of like, I'm more inclined to be like, please just give him something.
Yes.
Give him something. And my wife is like, no, screen time, screen time, screen time. No screen time.
Well, that's the funny dichotomy also about that cartoon is on the one hand, we're making fun
on the
of
other
kids
hand.
With the screens. On the other hand, as a dad, we all know, as a parent, we all know that they're like, there are those moments where in theory, it's like people before they have kids, they know everything, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I won't do this. And I'm just like, just wait. Yeah. At dinner,
we'll
you want to eat dinner and not have to get up 50 times? Well, it's either get up 50 times or give them a screen. So we do
at restaurants, you just see the kids. And the other night I was wondering, I was like, how did my parents ever take us to restaurants? And then I was like, oh, that's right. They did not.
That's right.
We ate out with my parents maybe once a year.
It was like a pizza place, too. It was like a thing.
It was a big deal.
Yes.
Going out to dinner.
We would go to like a Pizza Hut, and it was once a year, and it was like put on graduation.
You put on a little button up. You put on a little button up.
I remember my dad saying things like,
"Brown
loafers. Put on a pair of slacks."
Yes. Yes.
Put on a pair of slacks.
We're going out to dinner. Wear slacks. And I'm going to wear my hush puppies.
Right.
Now my kids are in their pajamas and they're watching it. They're watching My Little Pony on the iPhone.
Well, that's in general.
While my wife and I eat dinner and try to have a drink.
The other thing also, I think, that's one huge factor. The other factor is I think that parenting in a certain way in our parents' generation, and I'm just going to say this because I'm going through it, I think it was easier back then. Because I remember like my parents would take us, let's say my mom would go shopping at Vaughn's or whatever. Yeah. Okay, she would crack the windows and I would wake up in the far back alone,
sweating,
drenched in sweat.
In the car?
In the car.
Oh, now she'd be arrested.
Today you get arrested.
Today you're arrested. That's literally arrested.
And they'd smash the windows.
Yes.
And they'd smash, yes.
Now the windows would be open.
There'd be the jaws of light. The fire department would be there.
You can't do that today. So you have to hustle four kids in and out and clip. So it's
don't
a huge,
touch that.
Everything's
that
a huge
down.
Deal.
It is crazy. My wife always finds the one story of the one kid on earth who
died,
choked on a shoebox.
Right.
You're like, that's not even a.
We're throwing all our shoeboxes away.
It happened, Jamie.
Right.
In Newark, New Jersey, yesterday, a boy choked on a shoebox.
I bought shoebox
boxes. Get rid of all the shoeboxes. And all of a sudden, I'm going through the house throwing out every shoebox because my wife read this one article on Facebook about an idiot kid.
It's like my
got
wife
culled from the herd.
My wife safety proofed the house when the kids were born, you know, with the plugs and the this and they, so that they can't touch this and all. But for the past 3 years, I can't charge my phone because the plug falls
can't,
out.
Can't get them out.
I wake up and it's at 20% every.
Because this little plug is hanging.
It hangs.
Yes. I know exactly.
Right.
Like a flaccid penis.
I would rather.
God damn it! I plugged it in last night.
I would rather take the 1 in a million electrocution risk than go through this.
Did you? I remember as a kid. Going to plug in my mother's vacuum or something, and it blowing up in my face.
All
and,
sorts
and
of
turning
stuff.
Turning black, like I had black, like a movie, like it was poof, like yes. Jerry Lewis.
Right.
Like, and my mother came running over, and she's like, "You okay?" And I go, "Oh, I think so." And she's like, "Yeah, you're all right. Don't worry
right.
about it.
Keep going.
Yeah,
keep going with that."
But it, I mean, I should have been probably killed.
When my kid goes to, and so does his, our old Jewish community center where we went when we were little in Silver Lake. When we were kids, in the courtyard, there was an old World War II plane. That we used to be able to climb on and play on.
Safe.
There were rivets
rusty
and screws
nails,
and rusty.
Screws.
I think there was a
metal.
Working machine gun. I remember. Yeah, exactly. It's probably a working machine.
Sorry about that, guys. That was my.
Just don't aim it at the classes. Right. I remember my friend Misha got a tear down the side of his leg that like looked like a today. You'd be like tetanus and run off.
Every kid got that from every playground set.
Exactly.
It was like you'd get on the slide and you'd be like, "Did I just gash my Lego?"
Yeah, or erectors. Like, erectors yeah. are all
oh,
sharp edged.
The metal erectors.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
You never do that.
Today. Bolts that they're totally choking at.
Right.
Nowadays everything's so safe.
Right.
And still kids find a way to kill themselves with it.
Apparently. Your wife
yeah,
is checking up
pretty,
on the statistics.
Every day she's like comes home with a
right.
new story.
Look at this.
We gotta clear the house of this again. Oh my God, I don't know anymore. Grapes, like I had to learn how to cut grapes the long way.
Oh, so you don't
oh
choke
my
on
God.
It.
You can't choke on the grapes, so
yeah.
you couldn't cut them the sideways. They can still block it, Jamie. You got to cut it the long way of the grape.
I got so petrified by reading things and going overboard when my kid was little that I used to sneak the video. Now they have video, you know, like where you can check on your kid with image and sound.
Yeah.
So you're like looking at the video and you're like, that's not good enough. So I would go in and do the a finger under his nose.
Like a little mirror?
Like to see if he was a mirror. Like the equivalent of like in those movies where they have to shoot him in the head if you see a little moisture
yeah.
on the mirror.
Yeah.
Whereas like to see if he's alive like that. I'd be like waiting for a damp feeling on my forefinger.
You know what? It's too much information because like those monitors, you hear these noises from your kid and it's normal noises. So then you freak out about the noises. But then if you don't hear noises, you're like, why is it quiet? Why is it
right.
quiet? If there's too much. We have too much knowledge.
It's too much knowledge.
Just too much.
A constant monitoring. But it's really hard to steal kids these days. Like
that's right.
Everybody's...
Oh, if you're a kidnapper, it's a terrible profession.
It's a terrible time for a kidnapper. It's really...
That's right.
Like you said, you had your van earlier.
I've been put out of business.
Yeah, your kid's out of business and everything.
Right, with the like, cell phone, Amber Alerts now.
I mean, now they're like looking around, where can I steal a kid that's got... I'm not on camera.
Exactly, and yeah. that where all of L.A. doesn't get an Amber Alert at exactly when
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Can we save the Amber
right.
Alerts? There's nothing I can do at 3 a.m.
Right, I'm not looking at my
back
window.
Until 7, 7.30.
7 to 5. How about just 7 to 5?
5-hour head start.
So
it's
basically, if you're a kidnapper and you're smart, you know you have a window on Amber Alerts when that's a perfect time.
I got it the other night at 3 a.m. Ah!
Right, right.
You can't, and then I'm like, how do you turn these off? iPhone can do everything except for turn off Amber alerts.
That's the one.
And what's so bad? It's like the alarms in cars. When they first were invented, everyone was like, you'd hear one go off and you go, people would like run to
right.
that car.
Save
going,
the car.
Let's save that car. Save the now car. It's like, it doesn't do anything anymore.
No. I'm surprised the iPhone doesn't send you like an auto message if you turn off, why are you turning off the Amber alerts?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, don't you care about kids?
Yeah. Right. I went start getting trolled.
I went to Petco yesterday to buy dog food and they always go, thanks. And they go, would you like to donate $5 to help a safe pet? And you almost are like, you want to say no, but you're like, no, I'm a dick. I don't care about
no.
dogs.
I feel like no. they'll be like, no.
And then they look at you dirty like, I guess you don't care about dogs, dude.
Well, and Coffee Bean always does that where they're like, do you want to send a bag of coffee to the troops?
Like, you're like,
I think they get coffee. $500 billion military budget. I think they have coffee.
Yeah. I'll send them some other amenities. But I'm pretty sure coffee's covered.
Exactly.
I'm
sure that's
like,
covered.
We spend $700 billion a year on military. I think they get coffee.
Is there a coffee shortage in the military
some,
that I haven't heard
about?
How about
some Band-Aids? Can we send them some Band-Aids?
Right. Or how about
a bulletproof vest?
Yeah.
No. These guys really need some coffee.
It's also very specific. We just saw them a Musketeers bar. Just go down the list.
Send them a 3 Musketeers
bar. Send them a dry cherry. So, and I would like some flat white. Can I do this?
Chex mix.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys were highly was the whole school highly gifted, or were you guys in the
section? Oh, bubble. No. Here, no,
not
no,
only
no.
that,
so they hated you.
Oh, yes.
We went to school in North Hollywood, which was North Hollywood High, which maybe you know is
you
a
went to North Hollywood High.
North yes. Hollywood High.
And before there was a magnet school in there?
Yes, there was.
I don't know if there still is.
Because we would be terrified to send our kids to that. Oh, you have to test into it or something.
There
into
was a
magnet,
bubble but, in it, but the school was basically a big
it was
scary
lots of games.
Public school with a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
We had a full-blown race riot between the blacks and the Mexicans.
Between the geniuses and the not-so-geniuses.
We had to take cover. We literally had to go and hide out in the history, up above in the history class when the riot broke out, because the first thing they came after was like, first was smart, the low fruit.
There was a
the
Latino,
low fruit was
a Latino
smart.
Kid came, a Latino guy, definitely I recognize
but
him.
But we're not saying this in a racist way. The Latino
listen, my dad's from Mexico, yeah. so
my dad's
that's
from
why I'm saying it.
I can say the word Latino.
He's a Mexican Jew?
Yes, Mexican yes. Jew.
Shut man. Up.
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
Yeah. There's.
So what is the Jewish community in Mexico like?
Small.
It's small but tight-knit. Very kidnappable.
Well, you know what's interesting about it is my uncle was, he has
a show.
No, but
A workers' comp.
Workers' compensation firm. He's a lawyer. Okay. So he also is kind of like a bit of a jokester into this. He became the equivalent of the Spanish Judge Judy. Televised across
Manuel
all
Franco.
Of Latin America.
Calamundo?
Yes.
His name is Juez Manuel Franco, but his real name is Manny Grawer. And he goes on and just berates people and calls
in
them
Spanish.
Like pendejos in Spanish and all this. And in fact, when
I
he would visit us,
show.
When
the
he would
of the
visit
show
us
is
in
the
New
bad
York,
white guy and the you know and the gardener who's been hurt, and he always you know takes the side of the underdog,
of the gente,
la gente.
So
whatever.
When he visited us in New York, we would be walking down the street with him, and you know, like most people who are like you see in a coffee shop, or most white people, I'll put that in quotes, wouldn't necessarily recognize him, but every like.
The LA, busboys.
The busboys. They would all be
oye, mira, Juez Manuel Franco.
So going with him in LA in the car, it was like, it's a trip. Because like you see the fame and where fame hits
right.
with him
is totally different. It's a totally different world.
Right.
Well, it makes me laugh. You know, Trump's building the wall or whatever. In Los Angeles, the number one watched network in Los Angeles is Telemundo.
It's Telemundo, right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's called Los Angeles. You know, it's like, it's so
right.
funny.
Los Feliz.
We stole this area from Mexico and we still are like, you can't come because you get back.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, all things are
well, I think it'll be ironic when Trump has to actually make a run for the Mexican border and he's stopped by his own wall from fleeing
the
justice.
The see-through wall now he wants right. to build. It's a see-through wall with a solar panel.
Well, yeah, with the solar panel.
So we can see them throwing bags of pot
that's
over
a,
so we don't get hit,
so
in,
we
the head.
Get hit in the head.
I like how he's trying to add kind of bells and whistles to the wall, like to get people interested in it, like environmentalists.
What if you made it like
people?
An amusement park, like one long roller coaster,
a long
like,
ride,
fun?
And you
right.
can see through the glass,
yeah.
and you're like,
right.
look at how awesome it is here.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds great. Anyway, so you're in North Hollywood High. There's race riots, and were you under protective custody? It's like you couldn't even go in the yard.
There was a full-on response by the LAPD with batons and shields. It was on
the riot
Channel 13.
Made
remember,
all,
did
made
you
all
work
the local
in LA?
News.
Did you work
no,
in LA?
New Hampshire.
Okay.
I'm from New Hampshire.
Jerry Dunphy at the time was on Channel 13. I
that's
remember
really going back.
That's really going
wow,
back.
Jerry Dunphy.
Jerry Dunphy.
Shout out, Jerry Dunphy.
I hope you're listening, Jerry Dunphy.
No, right now, he's like, oh, oh, people remember me. Yeah. I'm Jerry Dunphy.
And so they came and they had like batons and helmets, and all the highly gifted kids were on the like second floor in the history class. Literally, we were like eating popcorn and looking down at what was about to ensue.
And saying, this is rather odd.
After that happened, Edward James almost came and spoke to the whole assembled, half bloodied up school like the day, 2 days later.
I need you guys to behave.
He's like, can we all just
I can't hear you, Edward. Speak up.
Right.
I need you all to behave. I still can't hear you.
What is he saying?
I'm speaking into a microphone.
I think he just repeated his speech from that movie where he's the teacher.
Stand and deliver.
Stand and
it's
deliver.
Great. That movie's great, right. By the way.
Everyone signed up for the AP.
They could have just played the movie.
Right,
they should
exactly.
have just played the movie for the right. kids and shut them up.
Right.
But you guys are big dudes. Did you play sports?
Mm. Well, first of all, we didn't hit puberty until 38.
32 or 33.
Yeah.
No, we hit puberty late, and our growth spurt was late. We were small. We were wily. We learned how to hide.
And there were two of you.
There were two of us, so we learned how to hide in like the shadows of the drinking fountains.
We were like hobbits,
right?
Yeah,
we were small.
I think you're playing that up. You weren't really. What were the other kids like in the highly gifted program? You must have been like the king of the, you know.
We were class clown. We were
class clown.
Yeah,
we were class clowns.
But what was
which
we,
I took pride in. We
that's had, a great please. That's an amazing thing.
That's
exactly.
Fine.
I was very happy. We loved it, but we thought like for example, we always were considered funny guys. We were always artistic, but I always thought. That's good on the side. But then
you're
when
supposed
you grow up, you become a historian. You become
someone
if someone would have said, no, you can go into comedy.
It never occurred to us.
I'd be like, oh, whatever.
It never occurred to me. In New Hampshire, I was like, people like on TV, I was like, that's not a real job. Those are not real.
And what's so
people.
Weird you're, is what would give us pleasure and at the time boners, so to speak, was like Monty Python. Seinfeld.
Farside.
All of that stuff was what we loved the most
Monty
of
Python's.
Anything.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
that stuff, and Bean at the time, all that stuff,
and maybe thumbing through a D&D module.
Your parents
in private.
Dead,
right?
My Python's still to this day. That's, yeah,
right. But we never put two and two together. It did not occur to us. Anyway,
was there pressure on you to go more into the world of academia? Were your parents like?
I wouldn't say it was overt pressure, but
I mean, you went to Columbia. They must have been like, "Well,
listen,
not Harvard. Don't get me wrong; it's not Harvard, guys. Please,
no, it ain't Harvard.
But it's okay.
It's literally,
it's okay.
It's Columbia.
No, I know.
It was honestly,
it was
though, it's in New York. It's pretty cool.
That's why. We went. Other than getting rejected from everywhere else,
was that the only Ivy League you got into?
Listen, we transferred in from UCLA.
Hey, slow down.
We went to UCLA.
Okay,
and we got when we applied to all the schools, we were so cocky. And we were like, my brother got in, we'll get in. We applied to like Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, whatever.
Done. That's it.
And back came six small envelopes, thin envelopes.
All no's.
All rejection. Rejection,
really?
Rejection, rejection, rejection. And
let me ask you, were you straight A's?
No.
Yeah.
No,
well,
not straight A's. No.
I heard a yes and a no simultaneously.
No, I get a little better on grades. Maybe
but
I got
no,
it.
No, Jeremy might have done slightly better, but it wasn't straight A's. It was like... there would be an odd B and even a C.
3.92.
No, 3.7, 3.75. It was also like...
It's like risky business. Come on, guys.
Right.
I mean, is that Harvard? Is that Princeton?
It wasn't
it's
Harvard material.
Princeton.
And I just wasn't interested. I never have been deeply interested in... I can't get it up for the things I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
But weren't those like a higher level class that you were taking?
Maybe. Yeah, AP.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Classes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. For, thank you for contextualizing my mediocrity.
So we would have got like a 1.4 in the class.
SATs. What were you crazy off the charts with?
But
it?
The thing is, or, I could say what it was, but it's all of those metrics. You just don't you feel they're all so meaningless? They're so
meaningless.
Even
when I took them.
At the time, you thought they were so important.
I was like out boozing the night before, and then I went in and I did okay. Yeah, I did okay.
I was probably boozing too. The night before was Purim. You know,
it was one of those Friday night dinners.
You know, right, exactly.
But
crazy.
Nowadays, kids are so coached and trained. Like it's supposed to be a test to see where you stand. But kids can prep for it so much.
Listen,
maybe the richy kids who got the prep are going to actually do better than the other kids.
And also,
kids.
But all my brother's bullshit about, you know, none of that means anything. It's a little bit like the person who's not a parent talking about screen time. Let's wait and see when our kids are older how much bullshit we think it is. Because I guarantee you we'll probably be like, I guess we have to. You just kind of fall into it.
It is total bullshit, but the problem is it's the system in place, so you have to. If your kids don't test well, they're not going to get into the colleges you want them to get into.
And to be the outlier and be like, fuck it, I'm not going to do it, is a risk, and no one wants to take that
risk.
Here's
maybe.
It's like your wife with the shoeboxes, or where it's like...
The shoeboxes, she has...
By the way, terrible analogy, but,
right.
but seriously, things are that crazy where you read a story where you're like, that's crazy, but yeah, go ahead.
Right, or for example, like the... you know, where there's a certain element of, I'm not going to be the guy that risks it. Like, kids get SIDS. One in a billion get SIDS. Right. But I'm not going to put him on his, you know, your my I'm wife is like, you're not putting him on his stomach.
I'm not going to be the one that killed him.
We never for a second think we're going to win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a lottery ticket, like I wouldn't even buy lottery tickets.
But
like,
if you put
because
your
shoes you know
on,
mathematically, right. You're like, there's not a chance in hell we'll win a lottery. But for the one in a billion disease, my wife's like, I think she's got it.
Right.
I think she definitely has it.
We're mosquito
right.
netting here, the house.
Hear this.
Wait, you know what's
my
funny?
Wife, totally. She never left this country.
Listen to this.
She thought she had Zika for a long time. I was like, you don't have fucking Zika.
Now, this is not
and
a joke.
And I want to be like, we're not going to do this. But then you're like, but if it happens, I'm going to be the asshole. So I'll go
right.
along with it.
That's it.
That I go along with to say for the same reason. Now, literally, over my bed, I have a mosquito net. My wife hung it because she went... She,
inside the house.
Inside
you're
the house.
You're not living in a treehouse.
For it's funny.
And we're in Los Angeles. You're not in Costa Rica.
That's fucking ridiculous. But for okay. the... Okay. All right. I wasn't trying to cuss.
That was like three fathers sitting around. Fuck! Oh, right. Shit. Oh, the God. Kid's here? Oh,
yeah.
No, there's no...
I saw his double take. Yeah, if only... Yeah.
So when she first hung it up, for a second, it looked like Out of Africa or something. Like, you know, Robert Redford and Meryl Streep.
Like,
this
hey,
is kind of...
This is nice.
I was like,
that's
it kind of looks like...
Where
sun,
the rose petals?
It looks like one of her magazines, like Sunset Magazine
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very quickly, you're like sleeping and this net just collapses onto your face.
It has like glasses hanging in it.
Well, it had... I got up out... I was looking for...
Why was it there?
As you get older, I have to wear... What's it called? The mouth guard, because I grind my teeth. Sure. All these things.
Sexy increases.
Stupid mouth guard. That, and I'm looking for it everywhere. And then I see it
sexy.
Hanging on the net. You know, like up there. It got stuck in the net.
It's like a everything fishing is, line.
It's like a fishing line. It catches all my stuff. You have to reel it in the morning.
It's like that seafood restaurant with the nettings on the wall totally. And all the shit's right. kind of hooked on it. And you're like,
right. All the flair.
Or, you know what it's like?
Long John Silver's.
You know what it's like also?
That's right.
It's like,
why is there a sled hanging on the wall?
It's like the aspiration of having a beard as a male
uh-huh.
versus what a beard really is, which is just a food catcher.
It's just an itchy food catcher.
Itchy food catcher.
Itchy. Can't wait. The beard has to go away, but I do. It's great not to shave. Was she putting it up because of Zika?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
In Los Angeles?
Yes. Yes.
I'm surprised my wife didn't get one.
She's going to hear this.
She's going to get one.
Is your wife highly gifted?
Well, I don't think
us highly gifted only marry highly gifted. I don't know if you know that.
I don't think so.
That's inbreeding, isn't it?
So you guys, how many? You have two kids.
He's got two kids. I Jeremy.
Two. Jeremy, two.
Daniel, one.
One.
Yeah.
Two kids.
Two. Six one. And three.
That
and
may
Daniel
change.
Has three.
May change.
You're gonna have a second.
Listen,
you're gonna just do what you're told, is what I feel like.
100%.
You know what I love?
I'm ovulating. Get in here. That's what. My wife's sexy talk.
I was just gonna say when someone says we're planning for a second, there's always a pause because everyone immediately knows. Oh, so you're.
You're inseminating your wife.
Yeah,
two people standing in front of me.
There's an awkward pause
because your penis is in her, and then you're coming inside her. Yes.
Her womb was a purchase where my seed could find no purchase. It's like
what's
raising
Arizona.
Again?
Oh, right.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Get in here. Hi. That's my great. Temperature's right.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. So two. I have two. And it's
you done?
Who knows?
If I make a... Listen, if I was filthy rich...
Yes.
As many kids as I could.
Right.
But at some point, mathematically, they, you know, the school system around here.
And
unless you qualify in a North Hollywood magnet school, you're like some private school.
No.
And do the math. Times
exactly.
Three kids or whatever.
Remember Heat when he's like, I want to have a small bag and anywhere I got to be is like 5 minutes. That was me as a single man. Anywhere
you,
I got to be.
You can't walk away in 30 seconds.
That's, thank you. If you can't walk away in 30 seconds, that was me as a young man.
I can't remember the last time I was
Heat. I had a duffel bag about yay big. I could go to Fiji. I could go to Paris with that
too.
Duffel bag. I could walk out of the house in 10 seconds. I was out of the house. I had nothing to leave behind.
Hello.
Now it takes me 3 hours just to get out.
You lucky
yeah,
bastard.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Andy, still no kids? Damn
yeah.
straight.
Right. I was in a rent control apartment when I met my wife. And when we met, I was like, we could just own homes on both coasts. Eat out every night. And she's like, no, we're having children.
Right.
And I was like, great, that's over.
No one knows how those things are going to end. That guy is going to be gone.
We haven't left the house without a major argument together on like a weekend day. I can't remember the last time. It's mayhem. And then invariably, wherever we go, we're like, where are her shoes? You didn't bring her shoes?
Yes.
Where's the pacifier?
You didn't bring the pacifier?
And then it's a fight at the mall. We didn't bring the stroller the other day, so I ended up carrying the kid because my wife, you know, they put those cute little plastic shoes. Beautiful. If you're sitting in a chair, but to walk around a mall, all of a sudden the kid's foot's bleeding, shit. And then I'm carrying the kid for the rest of the day.
I'm really missing out, huh?
God, shut up, Andy. Yeah. But you shut up.
This conversation is always followed by the little ellipses with, but it's totally worth it.
That should be the question.
But it's totally in a shaky voice.
Well, you have to say that. Totally it's your life, man. You got to say it.
Well, here's what I talk about, because I got married late. I was in my 40s or whatever by the time I did it. So I'd kind of already done everything.
Yeah.
And so there is this kind of, Andy, there's an emptiness.
Yeah. You hear?
Don't kid yourself. You want to try everything.
Being alone or having kids?
If you live every year, you're like, another Christmas alone. I'm going to go see three movies and hang with my buddies and drink. It's great. I did it 20 straight years in a row.
It's a good plan, but it's a little shallow.
It's a little hollow.
It's only a little shallow. I totally agree with you. There's a certain point at which you're like, and this is when it kind of happened for me too, because we were late.
I was always an old soul in a way, though. I never liked clubs. I mean, I would be in
there
a club.
There was
me
a point where
him.
I was like, I don't like going out.
I hated clubs. I would be in a club
where I can have a beer and shoot. I want to talk.
I would be schmoozing with a girl in a club, and she'd be like, this guy, get rid of him. He's trying to talk to me.
You can't even hear each other.
This guy,
you
why
dance?
Is he? Why is he drinking ginger ale?
I need a pub, trying to talk
to you about, have you read a good book recently? What? Have you read any good books recently?
And it's like,
bones, 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 bones.
Yeah. I need to talk them into bed.
Me too.
Yeah. Like, I think we're all in the same. You're good-looking guys, but we're in Hollywood.
Thank you.
We're kind of lumberjack good looks, I always tell people. It's like, yeah, I look good in a flannel.
Right.
With an axe. I'm not
ugly. I would say the three of us are good looking given our size. We're the smaller you are,
like
the more things can go.
I'd say we're proportional. We're proportional.
I'm a proportional fella.
Yeah. It's like my wife once said to me, she was like, I kind of like a little bit of ugly in my man. I was like, thank you.
Right.
My wife doesn't even say things that nice to me anymore. We used to be so sweet to each other, and now we're kind of like, we're you know, we just have fights over the most meaningless things.
It's all meaningless.
We're tired and we're exhausted. How old are your kids?
6 and 3.
You're 6 and 3?
3.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still, at the 3-year-old doesn't do one thing I tell her to do. She looks at me, smiles, and goes, no. And then just walks away. And I'm like, I'm going to punch you in the face in about 2 seconds.
The worst is when they realize that they can call your bluff. Because there's a point at which you're like, hey.
That just happened. That's so funny you say that. Right. I think she just learned it.
They learn poker. Because at a certain point, there's a point at which they're young enough where you can be like, hey. Put on the dad voice. Listen.
Yeah.
You're going to go to your room. And they're like, whoa. And then they're like, that voice means nothing. Wait a minute. But, you know, completely stepping out of the box on how to do child rearing for a second, I was listening to an interview and Jerry Seinfeld was saying what he does is he's like, being a parent is like being a small-time mob boss. And what you do is you just like, the kid's not behaving, I break a toy they like.
That's what I do.
That's what he said. He's like, literally, I'll break a toy you don't like. I'll throw it out the window. I'll just get, you like that candy? It's gone. It's down the toilet. It's like all like Tony Soprano, Tony Soprano in my house.
Mind your business.
Exactly. We know a guy, I won't say who has, he's from Eastern Europe. And his Southeastern Europe.
A little weirder.
He has a tactic where Daniel's over at his house and he was saying to the kids, he's like, hey, listen, guys.
He's like, do you want Gregos?
Do you want Gregos to come out?
And Daniel's the kids immediately went silent. Then he
because of the accent alone.
The accent alone. Then he was like, he showed me. I was like, what's Gregos? When they went to sleep. In his garage, he has a mask that is just hanging on a hook. When the kids are bad, really bad, he goes in, he puts the Gregos mask, and he just walks normally into the kitchen.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
What's the mask look like?
It could look like anything. It's just this terrifying.
All I see is Michael Myers, which is actually, that was Kirk, right?
That's how you make well-behaved
serial
killers.
The Halloween mask
killers.
Was originally a William Shatner mask. Did
was
you know
it
that?
Really?
It's a William Shatner mask, and they painted it white. Yeah. They were so cheap on props, they went and found this thing, and it was a William Shatner mask, and they put it on, and it was, and that's Michael Myers, yeah. And then the one for Friday the 13th, they're like, just throw him in a hockey mask. We'll throw him in a goalie mask. And yeah, there you go. I guess, any mask.
Right. So, obviously, when I get home, I'm going to start breaking his toys and put on a creepy
and put
mask.
On a kakosh mask.
The two kids yesterday were fighting over one thing. I didn't even really say a word. I took it. Out of both of their hands, and then I just threw it out. And I was like, well, you won't fight over that again, will you?
I need to start doing
it. It's kind of liberating when you pull that on them.
It is, but then here's the problem. And then I go, they're going to later, they're going to go, I hate you. It's that need for approval.
It's waves. It'll be I hate you, and then past that, he did me some good with that. That so it's going to be like the whole thing's going to be an up and down of.
But
hate,
think about you. I didn't realize that until I was like 35.
That's what I was going
to
say.
It's going to be a long
you
way.
You want to wait
it's
for them to get a long way. But I feel like with kids, it'll be like they're going to love you so much. Then they're going to just be a long window of distance. Yeah. And then when you're an old man, you're like, Dad, you were pretty good. And you'll be like with your tennis balls
and
on your walker.
That's the payoff,
as my
guys.
Final breath. Yeah. Daddy, before you die, I want you to know I love you. Oh, thank you. I can die now. That's how it is.
And then you see, right.
It was worth it.
It like, was worth
everything
it.
Everything you did, I get it now.
To hell with you, Andy Lerner. It was worth it. Right. Every last minute of it.
That's what's going to happen.
Is it worth it?
Deathbed That's, payoff. We're all going for the deathbed payoff.
I mean, I love the kids so much, but it's like, you know, every day is like...
What do I know? I just mind my little area. That's above my pay grade. Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
It's way above my pay grade.
I just clean up in my little corner.
Is but it worth I feel it? Like... If my wife tells me it is, then it is. That's my only... That's
I agree in a certain sense of... I feel like as I become older, I become more and more of just like a human donkey. I'm responsible for brute... labor, and my wife does the thinking, and I carry bags on my shoulders.
You're the
I
highly gifted
the trash.
Highly
gifted donkey. But here's the thing: I'm
the family Sherpa.
Exactly.
But he can count to seven. He's a really exactly. smart donkey.
Look what he does with his hoof. Right. And I can write my name in the dirt.
He's a highly gifted donkey.
But I was happy. I'm happy to seed like the planning of like where are we gonna stay? What are we gonna do? How is that stuff gonna work? Very happy to not do that. Just give me the bags. Give me the bags.
Here's
I'll put the
bags
on.
That's what I want. My wife's like, get the kids dressed. I go, I don't know what they wear. I go, if you pick out the clothes, I'll put them in it. But here's the problem. I used to get the kids dressed, and then I would walk out, and my wife goes, oh, no. Not that
exactly.
outfit.
Right. Exactly.
And you go, well, if you didn't want that outfit, you should have said it from minute
exactly.
one.
Because I don't care.
The reason they do the not
don't
care
is I just grabbed the two things on the top.
I don't give a shit. I'll put
and
them
three,
in
they
this
don't give a shit.
They don't care either.
They're not going to remember this.
No, little girls would like to go outside in sparkly boots, a tutu over a dress.
That's my daughter.
Right, exactly.
And a Batman mask.
And boys, you know my daughter. And boys want to go out with their Batman underpants on their head and like a lightsaber and whatever. That's
things.
Cool. So what,
we're
what's
terrible
cool to
parents.
Them?
Our kids, our neighbors gave us some clothes, and one of it was a Batman outfit. And so we go get yourself dressed for school. She comes out in the Batman outfit. We're like, whatever. She wears the Batman outfit to school. It's school picture day. Like 3 weeks later, that's how bad we are. And we got these pictures. I was like, she's in a Batman outfit. And my wife's like, oh Jesus,
but that's
Christ.
Cool. That's cool, as opposed to looking back at
a 3-year-old girl in a Batman.
But that's
outfit.
Way better than think about
with
this
with pink boots. By the way,
it's not like that's her LinkedIn picture. That, like that.
No, it is. I put it up.
Oh,
for
no,
her.
That is her LinkedIn. Right. She'll
that's
never
right,
get
that's what
an
I put
interview.
Up for her.
All right. Show me interview. She's been rejected. Thanks a lot, Dad.
When she goes for her Harvard right. interview, they're
that's
gonna be like, we looked at your picture. Right, do you really think you're Harvard type? No.
Because
Stan Lee will interview.
It's like University of Illinois.
I mean, when I look back at my high school yearbook. I don't know if kids do this today. I don't think it's as formal. I got dressed up in a tie. Did you too? In a jacket
tie.
And tie.
Clip-on yeah.
For the
my
graduation
high school
picture.
Photos, I'm in a tie. Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm
I
in
look
high
back
school.
And it's like my head is tilted yeah. to the side. And you're wearing like one
chemist
of your dad's
glasses
ties.
On.
And your dad's tie is too big for you.
Yeah.
Kind of because your neck is about yay big.
I had acne. My hair was parted in the middle.
And you're like, I'm a big boy. Down. I'm a big boy.
You're shiny.
It's not my best photo of all time, I can tell you that.
I wish I was wearing a Batman outfit.
Actually, bad. Looking back.
Cover the head more.
Right. My high school quote, too, I kind of was a smart... I was the same. I was a joker and a smartass. And my high school quote was, a man's got to know his limitations, Detective Harry Callahan. It's from Magnum Force. It's from a Dirty Harry film. And everyone's like... Everyone else, because I always thought it was funny that everyone was like, reach for the stars. You can
right.
be whatever you got to be. And so I was like, man's got to know his limitations. And right. nobody got the joke. They were like, hey, man, no, you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Like, that's kind of pessimistic.
Did you hear
and
the reach of
like,
stars?
I'm fucking joking.
That's exactly what I'm making fun of.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I'm making fun of.
Or they do like a Kansas, the lyrics from a Zeppelin song or something.
Well, listen, I don't think there's any more celebratory time in life that is about to go over a cliff than graduation from high school.
It's crazy.
For all of these people, they're like, the world is my oyster.
You know,
the light is shining down.
It's that 0.4 seconds where the car is hanging.
Right.
Over the cliff. And you're like, we're flying. And you're like, no, you're going down.
When you throw a tennis ball in there.
We're just fucking flying,
right.
man.
Right.
It's like everything's the dream. And then you cut to like 6 years later and they're like doing some shit job. And so you're like,
well, it's yeah, listen, it's not even to shit on it. It's that time in life when everything is paid for. Everything, you're taken everywhere. I remember, I mean, what, talk about kids expressing appreciation. My standard MO is I get home as a high school, get ready to go upstairs and watch DuckTales. But before I did, I would go to the fridge or the freezer and see what did mom have in the freezer from Trader Joe. And you'd be like, you look, you're like, Mom, you know, tortillas. I like tortillas. She'd go, okay.
Where are the dumplings?
I like the little gyoza dumplings. Where are the gyoza dumplings? She'd go, I didn't get them.
I love those gyoza.
The gyoza dumplings.
Pot stickers,
right?
From Trader Joe's. And they sell the sauce. You dip in
your
sauce.
Mom, oh, yeah. Your mom had been doing 5 million things for you. She's like, oh, I didn't get them this time. You're like,
Mom, what are you stupid?
You got
what are
you doing all day? Thing to do, Mom. Gyoza dumplings. That's
get me
all
into
you
college.
Have.
Pay for my fucking house and the gyoza dumplings.
That's all you have to do.
Jesus Christ, Mom. Right. You need to run out and go get me some dumplings. This is crazy, Mom.
Unbelievable, this
it's
woman.
Crazy. The way I treated my parents in high school was gruesome.
Utter.
And then I actually started drinking like junior year in high school, so I was a real dick. My father must have been, God damn it, why did I? And I was the youngest of six. That poor man was tortured.
At least you got your drinking out of the way early.
Did I?
Well, maybe not.
Oh, no, it lasted. It's,
maybe not.
Trust me, I still like a really good glass of wine. Man. I really don't.
I chase my wine still with water. It's all a struggle.
Maybe you're supposed to chase it. I think that's smart. You're supposed to have water with it. Yeah, I drink water a lot. Too.
I'm more of a...
That's how you get rid of the hangover.
I think I got into like a lot of juice. It was more like marijuana. Felt like more like
is marijuana a Jewish thing more so?
I feel like it is. I could be wrong.
Or are you just saying that because you really like marijuana?
Yeah, exactly. It's a Jewish thing.
It's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. It's one of the mitzvot.
Robbing banks is a Jewish thing. It's just what I do. And
I was
masturbating. Very Jewish.
Masturbating is a very Jewish thing, from what I understand.
Annoying people is very. That is actually very Jewish.
I feel like it's not. I feel like you're just saying that because those are things you like to do and you're Jewish. I'm confused.
I'm very religious.
Yeah, drinking's an Irish thing. Saying
it's
actually, it is. That is
saying
drinking
it's Jewish
is
a Jewish thing.
Saying it's Jewish is
that's what's really Jewish.
It's kind of true. It's kind of true. Is your dad cool with what your path now? Was he pissed when you left being a lawyer?
No. You know what? He wasn't. They've always been supportive. It was more we self-programmed because of the company we're in to think you have to take the academic path. Now, my dad, what's interesting is he likes that we do these cartoons. He likes our Instagram account, but he's very political. So he'll always want to give us ideas. And his ideas are always about Trump. Every single cartoon
he's
I
like,
do,
you should like, make a cartoon.
Is he pro-Trump or against Trump?
Oh,
anti.
And every cartoon is like, you should make Trump holding a fucking garden hose, and the head of the garden hose is Steve fucking Bannon, and he's emptying. And in DC, there's the swamp, and he's draining it to Mar-a-Lago. You see it coming out. And you're like, how would you draw that? Okay, that's interesting.
The garden hose is Steve Bannon, and then Trump is holding the hose. We'll get on that.
Let me work on that, Dad.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we always tell him. Yeah, we'll put that in the.
Well,
in
do
the
you
list.
Guys? My thing with politics as a comic. I've done political stuff and I've done some religious stuff, and you know, it never goes great.
Right.
You divide the crowd. Half of the audience immediately hates you, whatever choice you make, whether you're pro or against something.
Right.
So I kind of don't. I tried years ago to, I'm Catholic. I'm going to tell you some Catholic jokes. And then I was like, why am I torturing myself this way?
Sectarian and stuff. Now, as a comic, you probably noticed even a different thing, which is you are in Poughkeepsie. There's one thing maybe happening. I don't know. You're in LA. Another thing's happening. As opposed to we're on Instagram where you're talking to the entire globe, which has its own challenges. And you're talking to 17 to 21 to 22 year olds mainly.
That's really interesting that it is all over the globe. And do you find, but you're doing everything's in one picture. That was the beauty of The Far Side, and what you guys do exactly is I look at your picture, I get it.
Yes.
Immediately, and that's what's beautiful about the joke.
We did that specifically because the real estate is very valuable on Instagram. You got 2 inches by 2 inches or 1.5 inches by 1.5 inches. Yeah. It's like, I can't split this into four panels.
We saw people who did comics
people
where
do
it's
that,
all split up and you're like, I need like a magnifying glass. I have to get a
jeweler's lens
to see that. You know,
and it also, it's the same with telling a joke. It's like, edit.
Yeah.
Can you tell the joke in a shorter amount of time?
In its essence.
Boil
it down.
Frame.
And I totally agree.
You know, the comics we've talked about, the other ones that are single frame comics, there's a genius to it to be able to
boil down and reduce
in one.
Yes.
In one frame.
I'll tell you what.
It's hard. It's really hard to do.
I feel like bad single panel cartoons convey just as quickly how bad they are as good ones convey how good they are.
And the bad ones always end up in the New Yorker, it feels like.
It's funny. I have this, so funny I have this one.
It's a Seinfeld joke, though. She's like, I don't get this cartoon.
I have a cartoon.
I get it that they don't get it.
We have a cartoon that's been waiting for a year that we haven't run, making fun of New Yorker cartoons. Because I feel like there's some people love them, I guess. I feel they are so precious. And so
there's not only do I not get them, but there's a smugness to the not getting. Like that's they're proud of the fact that they're not
gettable. And the drawing style too, even the drawing style, it's like you have to draw everything in this voice. And then all the captions are the same kind of snooty thing where it's like, having a drink? How can a gerund have a drink?
Like, gerund. Gerund's right. Such a good word. That's so good. That's so good. Actually, I like that cartoon. All right, we'll look at that.
I love that cartoon. Right, that was
okay. We're gonna do that.
We're gonna do that cartoon.
That's so funny.
Oh, so I was gonna say the reason we haven't run that cartoon is we have these metrics on Instagram, and it's kind of one of the things that is both interesting about being on Instagram is you can see how many 18-year-olds like it, how many 18-year-olds in Poland,
how many people in London, how many women.
Oh, is that right?
You can see
where
what
are you guys
cities.
Blowing up?
Well, we're
Thailand, in London, New York, expect. LA.
So your cities.
And Australia.
Australia for some reason.
Australia, Mexico.
Your sense of humor is a city sense
yes,
of humor.
Absolutely. Not, more big city.
Not rural at all.
Now, one of the things that
less so.
You don't really know, though, because it's like when they list where you're biggest, they list the cities. And of course, they're not going to list some tiny city. Like they may have, I mean, in aggregate, I don't know how many rural folks are listening to us, but those are the cities that are, let's say,
well, they also have more people, so they have
exactly.
More.
So that's what I mean.
Whatever I volume is at higher.
But I would say yes, we're probably city humor.
Well, I watched it. It's cutting. It's scathing. It's sharp. Maybe
erudite.
It's
so,
stupidly
it's very
erudite. Stupidly erudite.
But in a
but
great,
stupidly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's stupid.
But
it's
listen,
we're stupid.
I think The Far Side was as smart as anything, and you had to be really intelligent
and
to
it
get
was dumb.
The twist on it. Yeah, and dumb, which
but
is
that,
really a
which
great
is exactly
mix.
The line that you want, I hope, to be walking, which is, if it's just erudite, you're the New Yorker. If it's erudite and stupid,
if it's
all
just
right,
stupid,
you may have
then it's just kind of crass.
And you guys
hopefully you can pull both off.
And so now you guys are making cartoons. You have Highly Gifted, which you've already shot the pilot for.
Kesha,
can we say?
Kesha, yes. Kesha. Kesha.
Ron Funches.
Ron Funches.
Nat Faxon, who I love.
Who's amazing.
Yeah, we
amazing. Josh Brenner from Silicon Valley. Angela Kinsey has a little role
in it. Angela very well.
Yep. And so the cast was amazing. We got very
great Kesha. Kesha's a genius, right? Isn't she supposed to be Highly Gifted?
I will say this about her.
Here's what's interesting. Everyone always asks, what do you think about Kesha? Let me be totally honest. She seemed great. But you know what it's like in the recording booth.
You spend
she
2 hours with the person.
It was great in the recording booth. She seemed cool. But we were around her for what? 4 hours? 6 hours?
Less.
That's it. Done.
Less. 2 hours.
So, I did the Loud House. I was there for maybe 12 minutes.
Exactly.
I walked in. He was like, say the words. Say it. He goes, okay, great. Thanks. See you later.
We were in an interview.
It's the best
someone
job
asked,
on earth, by the
way. I wanted to like make up a story. I was like, what was Kesha like? So into her childhood.
It feels
nothing.
Like when people say, oh, you guys are twins. Did you ever pull off amazing like sex switches? And you're like, no.
I want that story, but I don't have it.
Well, I banged his wife, but I'm pretty sure she knew who I was.
He doesn't know. Don't tell him.
Once did a trick that was so stupid on Jeremy's wife, where Jeremy put on my glasses and woke up his own wife saying, it's okay, Jeremy's gone. Started kissing her. And she was like, whoa. But the thing that a guy never thinks about is, what if she had gone along with it?
Yeah, what was
what
the
if
win?
She was like,
no
oh,
upside.
Great.
It's
was no
it's a no-win
upside.
Situation.
Yeah, like all you, because as a guy, that? You're just looking for the laugh.
You guys don't, you're not.
It's even worse when you're a comedian.
You don't look exactly alike.
Well, here's part of it. He got LASIK. 3 or 4 years ago.
Why didn't you?
Okay. There's my answer.
There's the public
my
answer
public
and the private,
private
answer.
Okay. My public answer is he's the canary in the coal mine. I'm waiting to see what happens to his eyes. Or okay. That's what I say. Right. The real reason, his wife made the arrangements.
She did the calls.
I haven't managed to get myself to do it. I keep saying in a month or two.
In our office.
I haven't
done it. Our office.
I'm also a little freaked out about it.
Our office is meltingly hot. For 3 years, we've been like, we got to get an AC unit. And for 3 years, we've been sitting in this
office.
Until
your wife got you an AC unit.
We draw in our underpants in this sub-street level office. It's like that Woody Allen joke about how his grandfather lived in a sub-basement apartment and he has to jump up on the street to commit suicide.
By the way, great comic. I love Woody Allen. I feel like that's such a funny point because nothing happens in our lives until are significant. Like, I had horrible allergies forever years ago, and finally a girlfriend I was dating was like, I can't take it anymore. I made an appointment.
I have to sit
and deal with it.
I have
a great jock itch story, but I don't know if I should tell it because it's
yeah, you're kidding. We're right near the end, so I think you should.
It's a jock itch story. So, all right, I'll tell. I lived in Italy for 5 years. And
not the way I saw it starting.
Right, all right. And I'm walking in Bologna.
I thought we were going to start with, I was scratching my nuts.
Exactly. In Italy, after 5 years.
Well, this is the real Eat, Pray, Love.
You lived for 5 years.
Yeah, I worked for Ducati Motorcycles for 5 years.
Which is a crazy story.
It's another story, but I'm walking around Bologna with a friend, and he suddenly looks over and he's like, "You eat your balls a lot, don't you?" And I was like, "I don't know. It's what one does. You know, they're balls, and they're there to be itched."
He's like,
"Well, no. If you're itching them, that means you have jock itch." And he's like, "How long have you been itching them?" I was like, 10 years. So he was like, "Okay, so let's go to the pharmacy and get you jock itch powder. It's very simple, or spray." So
were you heavily scratching him, or just
were you damaging?
I readjust.
I would say readjust, but I would say it was like a more. Now I currently do normalized readjusting. At the time, I would say I was readjusting more frequently.
I didn't notice it particularly, but maybe I was doing the same thing.
We've been together for an hour, and I haven't noticed.
But it was
at
something
all.
That I didn't even think of, nor did I take care of. So I go to the pharmacy.
His brother was doing it for him.
Yeah, it seemed weird.
Exactly. At the time, I didn't speak Italian. You know, my Italian was rudimentary. It was not pharmacy level Italian. So you have to go in and kind of like look around and be like, "I need a cream for my balls, the ball cream." And people are starting to look at me and I'm sweating. I'm like, itch, bad feelings, balls, cream. And I just keep repeating things. And finally she's like, "Okay," she's putting it together and I'm pointing and everything. And she gives me this.
You're saying also in Italian, by the way.
In Italian. This is all in Italian. I wasn't like balls, cream, really slowly, like one of those American tourists.
Balls,
cream. And the zipper comes out. Out comes. Anyway. So anyway, she gives me this ointment. We go to the guy's place and he's like, puts on some stupid movie. And I was like, "I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'm going to take care of this now." And that's the end of everything. I just take it, slop it on, and come back out. He's like, 10, 15 minutes. He's like, "Does it feel better?" And I suddenly realize it's completely numb. And so I fake it. I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" I was like, "Yep, feels totally better." I go to the bathroom, read the instructions, which are in Italian, and make out that she has given me, not understanding what I'm saying, a douche ointment or cream that is supposed to be mixed with 5 gallons of water, one drop. And I just was like, right on the
on the balls.
Right.
Didn't you go back to her like, "You give
no,
me..."
No, I cut my losses.
So... Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get feeling back in your balls eventually?
Never.
No. Never.
Never.
No. I haven't felt anything there since.
My balls.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm like Tom Cruise in Fourth of July. That's his superpower.
It was some cream. It's like vasectomy. It's a vasectomy cream.
Yeah. Exactly.
My balls. I need something for my balls. She goes, "Don't worry. I'll take care of those for
right,
you."
Right. If you don't want to have kids or ever enjoy sex again, I highly recommend it.
By the way, I don't know who your friend was in Italy. He took a really big interest in your testicles that maybe it seems a little abnormal.
Right,
For a guy to keep going, "Hey, man, just real quick, how are your balls doing?"
He was
blowing
me.
You know, the cure for that is called 69. Yeah. Right. I could take care of that right here.
Full disclosure, he was blowing me at the time.
I feel like he was blowing me. Right. You know, there's the sprays and stuff. I haven't had jock itch since like
That's what I figured
soccer.
Out afterwards.
I haven't even heard the word in 20 years until he just brought it up.
Remember
I don't
like when you you guys didn't play a lot of sports, but if you played sports,
I
you
played tennis,
jock itch and athlete's foot.
We played batman, we fenced.
No, literally, those were
North Hollywood High, the fencing.
I did take fencing at Columbia. That was a sport. I was like, I'm like, the girls
awesome.
Are gonna love. I loved it. I thought it was fun.
He was like, he's good with an épée.
An épée.
Actually, I did.
Yeah. The saber.
Do not get that man in a corner with an épée.
You don't want to know what happens.
You don't know. You should break it out with the kid when the kids are bad. Instead of going to get your mask, go get your sword.
Get my saber.
I'm gonna get my sword and come back.
Like in those movies where he takes off one half of your mustache.
Ooh, I missed.
And undoes your pants.
"You want to date my daughter?"
Right.
Give him a bad haircut.
God, you guys. Andy, these guys flew by, right?
It was lovely. Every moment.
I got to wrap it up here. You guys are going to have to come back. We're going to do some more because we didn't. Yeah.
We'll do number two.
And I will literally do number two. Indeed, yeah. So I opened this entire thing by running into your house and going to
the bathroom. Because that's how he greeted for everyone who's listening. I was like, "Hey, nice to meet you. Hey, can I use your bathroom?"
Right.
I think we should do a whole episode on his testicle.
I feel like we just did a whole episode
on his testicle. I think that was a teaser.
No, he means another.
That was a teaser.
We have a couple questions we kind of bring it home with. So what are some traits that you guys have that you hope your kids get?
Stupidity.
Besides jock itch.
I would say stupidity in the best way.
Yeah.
In that I think there is there's a duality of life, of realizing that everything is very important and everything is meaningless at the same time. I hope that they realize that there's that duality.
Right.
Mm.
That was a very serious answer.
It was.
but it
sounded like a Columbia guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounded like he was in court with Exxon.
You know what? I think it's learning. It would be learning to trust who you are and what you are a little earlier than we did. There's so many ways in which, like, remember that book, The Game, How to Get Girls? Do you remember that? It was called The Game. So when kids were in college, they would be like, okay, if you approach from the left, I'll approach from the right. We surround her and create a V pattern, which will instill
and an
in
18
her.
Degree
and
vector.
There was all of this stuff.
You guys, you took it scientifically.
I never did it, but that is like felt how even approaching women at the time went wrong, as opposed to just be yourself and talk to them. They're human beings. You're a human being.
Realize who you are and trust that skin,
and
whatever it is.
And understand that they're not all going to like you. In fact, 95% of them won't like you.
They won't.
And 5%, like if you're in the market for anything, 5% are in the market for your shittiness. And that's good. That's fine. Yeah. Trust in your shittiness.
It's like venture capital.
Be okay with your shittiness.
We used to laugh because at dates, I was always, you know, years later, I was myself, finally. Alcohol was my first foray into meeting women.
Right.
But later, as I was dating in my 30s and even my 40s, I would always be myself, but the women were always guarded, and they wouldn't act themselves, and then you start to fall for somebody before you would... We need to be open from minute one to go, like, look, if this isn't going to work...
Yeah.
Oh, this is me, and that's
sober.
You.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Growing up basically sucks, but that is the good part of growing up.
Yeah.
And in Dan's case, he would come right out with the numb nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Right in the first date.
And I would say, could you please instill or try to
but
instill
I think
healing?
That would be a great first date story.
Right.
Whereas...
The balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go like, look, if she doesn't accept me with this story, then
that's what
we're wasting our time
that's
anyway.
That's why I married my wife, out. Is you break out these stories and you see if they are like, oh dear. Then you're like, not
that's
for
not
me.
Not
that's
me.
Not a life.
Right. Yeah.
This is another person. Good luck with
that's
your
right.
life.
Right.
Good
that's
luck with
right.
your life.
My wife, God, when we dated, she was like, oh, I don't need a big wedding. I want to elope.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know about having children. And of course we get engaged. She's like, oh no, I lied. We're having a huge wedding and we're having children immediately.
Jeremy was
like, wait, whoa, back up.
Exactly that on Valentine's Day, where his wife was like, ah, Valentine's
she had told
Day.
Me,
Valentine's
she had told me for like the first week, she was like,
great.
I don't like it. It's a Hallmark holiday. So it was like, Valentine's Day comes. She's like, where'd you book? I was like, pardon? Where'd you book?
Yeah.
What's that now?
I feel like.
And she was like, where'd you book
order
the restaurant?
Pizza.
I was like, but you don't like it. She's like, I don't like it, but I want to go somewhere for Valentine's Day.
I feel like compared to women, men are somewhere on the Asperger spectrum. Where it's like, we generally are very literal. You tell us something, I will actually listen to what you say. And I will take it at face value. That's what she believes, as opposed to later you learn what was the context.
I think
what was
women often
how
are more
was
like,
it said?
More like for example, we had a Japanese exchange student stay at our house, and they would we would ask them, "Do you want more for dinner? Would you like something for dessert?" My parents would ask them, and they would always say, "No, that's totally."
They were starving the whole time.
Of course, they were starving, and we found out later afterwards that it's customary in Japan to say no. Three times. On the fourth
she
time,
she was waiting
you
for
accept.
The third. No, she was starving.
We would ask and be like, oh, no food. Okay.
Yeah, only asked three times.
Yeah, exactly.
You needed the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, in this world, it's like, fourth. If you hear one no, I eat all the chicken. I eat all the chicken after I hear a no.
My wife gets pissed. Like, we'll go to split a meal and I'll eat it in three bites. And she's like, wait, I thought we were splitting this.
Yeah, how did you not read this?
You should have jumped in. Remember, that's on you.
Right. They expect us to read signs just as that poor starving Japanese girl did. And we expect them to say it.
By the way, speaking of being like a crow or a vulture or a buzzard on the wire, my wife's parents, they're not big eaters. So my role, even while we were dating, is I would just be waiting for them to not eat their meals wherever we went, just so I could jump in and just finish anything that they haven't touched.
Well, I feel like that's a very parent thing. I mean, how many times have you eaten over the sink?
I just took my kids. Last night I took them, and they had half-eaten, like, the chicken nuggets. And I opened the trash can, and I was like,
fine.
I ate, like, three of them.
No one's looking.
One was really wet. I was like, I think this was in her mouth. I'm like, I don't care anymore. Nothing offends me anymore.
Yeah. I saw Jeremy standing over a sink recently. You know, where it's like one of those sink dinners.
Not even eating the donut.
It's like what the stuff that is going used to slop off into the
trash
can.
No, there's no fork.
Now
it's literally like a knife, and you just kind of like shovel it like a dump truck, and you're like, this isn't living. This isn't a human being.
What are traits that you hope your kids don't get from you?
We could be more organized.
Yes, yes. I would say taking things a little, being a little better on the practical, a little better on the practical side of things.
And if there's shit you don't like. And
because life, like. There's a lot of shit you don't like. It's like people who, you know, we always knew, we have a cousin, in fact, who wanted to be an architect. And he thought that being an architect was drawing cool pictures of houses that you're going to do and awesome skyscrapers. But it's also doing the electrical. And doing the sewer system. And it's mostly shit. And even with what we do, there's the busy work component that no one likes. And then there's the part that's kind of the reward. And you do all the work and you get that reward component. I hope they're able to get through the shit to get to the enjoyment.
I have trouble getting to, I have great ideas, man. I have great ideas. Yeah, it's the actual sitting down and doing the work that's like, eh.
Everyone wants to be a big picture man.
Game of Thrones is on.
Exactly. Before Jeremy and I started writing together, I thought I was going to be a novelist in New York. Now, it turns out I don't have the personality at all. Because it's all these things are personal. Really, you have to be able to sit in a room alone for years.
And Michael Crichton,
before you kill yourself,
took his lunchbox every day, 8 to 5. Wrote 8 lunch for a half hour. Even when he was a jillionaire, by the time all those guys who like won't sell their apps for $3 billion, I'm like, dude, take the money,
right?
Go play golf. Let's get out of this. You won. The game's over.
It's over. I know.
But that's why they're billionaires, because they had that
mindset.
They
had that mentality of not thinking that way.
So
I
never did.
So my writing when I was in New York was like. If I look back, and God willing, I threw it all out. It was like 4 pages of title pages for books that I was going to write, where it's like, I got another one. I'm going to take a break. Another title page. All right, let's take a break.
So many big ideas. Yeah, have some small ideas.
Just need a few
small ideas.
That's why part of me loves Steve Jobs, but part of me is also like, you're really just going, yeah, round the corners and come back to me in a week. You know, like
exactly.
That's kind of, because I'm kind of jealous because I wish I met someone like Bill Gates. Steve Jobs doesn't exist without meeting somebody like that, who's the genius who puts the work together, and then he's kind of the guy who goes, hey, maybe this is the way this should be.
It was like Wozniak made the computer.
He built the thing.
Yeah, you build it, I'm going to go say something. That's another stage in a turtleneck.
You need those people.
You need both.
I don't have that. I have Andy.
Great collaborator.
I mean, Andy and I, together, where are we going?
Count on me, baby.
Yeah.
We know the feeling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, I'll let you out on this. This is the last question. What is a mantra that you would, maybe your father told you as a kind of a little moral of life that you lived by? You know, hang in there, baby, or something like that, that you guys...
I don't believe in mantras.
Hopefully something better than hang in there,
baby. Well, I try to say something that won't
hang
be...
in there, baby.
You know, it's like the little posters with the cat hanging on the
tree. The last drop always ends up in your pants.
There's nothing you can do to
There's nothing you can do. Just remember that, kids.
I don't.
honestly, that's pretty liberating. You just, and as you get older, it's not just the last drop.
You could shake it for an hour.
Yeah. Andy, how much ends up in your pants?
You could blow dry.
Most of it.
Most of it.
You could blow dry your
unit. Blow dry your penis.
And there will be a drop.
You can hang it out the window. You can put it on a clothesline for 4 hours. And still, when you put it back in your pants, there'll be one last drop in your
pants. That's as close to wisdom as we get.
A couple years ago, I had an invention that would be like a cock sock. And it was just, it was like.
Condom?
It was a little napkin at the end, like a sanitary napkin.
And it dabs.
It was like a sheath. And so you would take it off, urinate, and then before you put it back in your pants, you'd put the sheath back on, put it back in your pants, and that way it keeps your pants dry.
Is that also what, like, is that also,
honestly, that's not a bad idea.
Is that also what, like, a snobby dick would use, like, where it's like, pardon me, madam.
And then, like, you do like the Grey Poupon ad.
Yeah, like the Grey Poupon ad, and just, like, dab the corners of it.
Excuse me, sir.
Is that a cock sock?
I saved one drop for you. Right. Oh, no, it's in my cock sock now.
Right. But if I'm understanding this right, wouldn't your cock be wet the rest of the day inside the sheath?
No, it's got
moist,
the same
moist, mildly moist.
No, it's got the diaper. Humid. It's got diaper humid. Material.
I'd like to see some working diagrams.
I love how the cock sock is basically, you'd be taking around to investors, and it's basically just a creepy guy with a rag in his pocket
wearing a condom.
I'm gonna go on a Shark Tank. What am I going on Shark Tank? Guys, it's called the cock sock.
Right.
Here's how it works.
It's kind of crusty.
You know how you always, the last drop always up in your pants. Okay, moving on.
And the guy, I have them pass it over.
You have the
goes,
board.
Is it washable? Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Has this never been washed?
You just have a board of a cutaway, a cutaway of a cock with like a drop coming out of the tip. You're like, problem. Solution.
See, you guys got to draw. You guys can draw the box.
We'll draw it up for you.
We'll draw it up
business.
For me.
Exactly.
Business. All right. On the cock sock, I think that's the end of today's. We got to have you guys back. You guys are awesome. It was a real pleasure to meet you.
I flew by.
My guests today, Daniel and Jeremy Lehrer. They can find you at Lehrer Boys on Instagram. It's blowing up. That's the great stuff. And you can get to see all the cartoons. You go back through your backlog of stuff and see. Highly Gifted will be coming hopefully soon.
Hopefully, we hope.
We'll have an announcement on that.
There's some motion on that front.
Keep an eye out for it. And you have some merch. You guys have a website that people can come and say hi to you.
Laraboysshop.com. You can find some very inappropriate stuff on there.
And I'll put links in the bio and stuff. You guys are awesome.
Maybe you could buy a cock sock on there.
Honestly, we should start selling. Honestly, we would sell
cock sock.
We'll sell cock sock.
Coming soon. Get it? Right?
Yeah.
It writes itself.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
You guys are sharp.
And then we could, you know what we could do? We could do a talk show. Talk cock sock.
Talk cock sock.
Talk cock sock.
Cock sock talk.
Talk cock sock. Like Dr. Seuss. Walk, talk, cock, sock, walk.
What about a cock, sock, clock? We could. It's limitless, Andy. All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in. Please, if you get a chance, check out some other episodes. Go on, rate us, review us, come say hi, and we'll catch you next time here on Father Time. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, thank you.